Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. As always, we encourage your participation on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul Kuharski brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa and Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. And as always, the best question for PK on the text line will win a Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa $50 gift card. So get those questions in right now on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'm assigning a percentage to it on the text line.
Doesn't
to this
matter.
Point. About 75% of the folks,
morons,
are with PK in this argument.
You're all dumb. And Brian Summers, confirmed knower of ball, is on my side. I'll take that over. I'll take the 1% and Brian Summers and 99% can say whatever the hell they want. Also, I just got a text from inside the Titans organization clowning you and agreeing with me. You do stuff like this. First of all,
the PR staff is going to agree with anything that's more positive.
I didn't tell you it was a PR staff.
That's who texts during the show. I know how it works.
You
and
sure?
then they're going to agree with
Are
anything
sure?
that makes them look better. Also, Nick, in the continued disrespect of me and my appearance on the show, doesn't have me on camera today.
We got to get that fixed.
We do have a camera malfunction. I've been trying to work on it.
Okay. We'll get it figured out.
I mean, if you're taking me off, you should take Rex Road off.
just
broadcast for Albert.
Just get me on.
I mean, if people have to look at that ruddy face, they
ruddy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's hurtful.
Okay. Damn. Well, you can come sit here if you want.
No.
I'll trade seats with you.
I don't want to sit in that warm seat.
I think Rex Road's hurt deep inside that the people are on PK's side.
Well, there are a few goofballs here in the text line. They probably listen to Stilly's show. Listen, they threw screens early, and I didn't hear this from anybody else either. It's like they set up a touchdown. I mean, that's what the screen crap was early.
Look, they set up a touchdown, which is great. Then build on that further
I'm
in the game.
I'm not disagreeing, but again.
Oh, it sounds like you are disagreeing.
No, I'm not disagreeing with the premise.
Very excited about that 7 points in a game where they scored 17 and needed 21.
No, the quarterback is struggling, Paul. But if you have a struggling quarterback, first of all, and you call shorter passes and stuff for him, that doesn't mean your verdict is in. It means you're trying to help him do something. I mean, this
because
is
we
so
all know
dumb.
That Will Levis's top skill is short passes.
Well.
That is where the guy really excels. That's what everybody has said. Did you see those short passes that Will Levis threw? That is what we're going to build this team around.
So basically then, unless they call 12, you must throw deep a game, then you're out on Will Levis. It's either bombs or you're out on Will Levis.
I don't say that entirely. I think they need to do more, and I think cutting it loose with Will Levis is a better – probably it gives them a better chance than what they're doing.
Yeah.
We've seen them do this twice.
Well, in the last game, he threw two. One was picked, and one should have been picked.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's two.
So do 3 and 4. Come on. Do 5 and 6.
Well, yes.
The verdict is in.
This is very Stilly logic. This is very Stilly logic. If you throw one deep ball and it's picked, don't throw any more deep balls because they will be picked.
Well, his arm was hurting too, shoulder.
Yeah, that was weird that he used that as excuse and his coach did not.
Yes,
and I like to
weird.
Think they would not have played him if his shoulder was a factor, because they didn't hesitate to not put him back in the game in Miami.
When he said that, I could not have rolled my eyes any harder.
That was bad play by him.
But that could also be part of the answer, right? I mean, it could be.
If they're playing him with his shoulder limiting his best factor, when Mason Rudolph, the reason not to play him is because he doesn't have much of an arm and can't do much. That's bad call.
It
on
is,
their part.
But it's more logical than the verdict is in. I mean, it's bad, you're right, but still makes more sense than the verdict is in.
It's fine. This has been a nice, healthy conversation about a piece.
Yeah, that was which you can check out at PaulKuharski.com.
That's right.
By the way.
Which, had quotes and facts in it as opposed to this Harold Landry conversation, which we admit is made up to juice up some radio.
No,
it's from the Stillman School of Radio. All right.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to make up a BS trade, overvalue the pass rusher, throw in a Tennessee guy to get everybody excited. We're going to spend a few hours on it. Here we go.
We have gotten a lot of talk out of this.
Yeah, we did. Hey, change the subject from Will Levis.
It did.
Yeah, that was nice.
A welcome change.
Thank you.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Welcome. Let me throw in a new George. Twist. Let me throw in a new twist. They get two firsts for Landry. Two. Is that good? And Simmons, they give you a share of their organization.
George, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, Paul, you may or may not remember me. I used to call him as Philly George back when you were with Kevin and Mark and Frank. So
what's
point
up?
Of making is I've listened to you a long time. In reference to the earlier comment, we need Paul at 7:30. We need Paul from 8 to 9. We need Paul all day long, guys. The more
all
Paul
day.
We get,
no,
the better
I'm
out there
appreciated here. I might not be coming at 8 anymore. I'm considering giving up to 8 o'clock. Look, I'm going to take it away so that they can miss it.
8:45, Paul Kaharsky.
Rexrod doesn't appreciate it.
It's Kaharsky.
I might go on strike.
8:51 to 8:55.
Yeah. I may go on all, I may go on strike because Joe doesn't appreciate it.
How about a moment's peace spot with Paul Kaharsky?
Don't
go
do
ahead.
That, man. We need you as much as possible. But, hey, one quick question for you, and it's kind of a side question, right? I get why we're talking about Will Levis. He's a quarterback. Makes sense. And to be honest, I'm not a huge Titan fan, hence the name Philly George. I'm an Eagles fan. But I'm watching the highlights of the game yesterday, or a Sunday, I'm sorry. How does Joe Flacco throw a 25-yard floater that's up in the air for 8 to 9 seconds and it lands in the end zone for a touchdown? Like, can I get some commentary about the defensive backs? Because, again, Levis should take front and center. What kind of secondary? How the heck does that even happen?
What
do you guys think?
Thanks for the call, George.
Well, Legarius Sneed said guy got him by a step and lost his leverage, and it was not a good-looking play by a guy that they gave up a second-round pick and a lot of money for to not get beat on situations like that. He had a bad game. He said he had a bad game. He's not lived up to expectations so far. The hope is that he cranks it up. He's a good player for sure. But we've not seen the best of him.
Well, and you had the Pittman play. You had the Pierce pass interference play. I mean, even going back to the Miami game, right? Like, there's this talk on all over Titans Twitter of him shutting down Tyreek Hill, and it's like, well,
the stats say what
the
they
numbers
say, man.
Say what they say. If you go watch the game, Hill cooked him twice, and one of them was severely underthrown. One of them was severely overthrown. The point is,
he gave up a third and a mile against Green Bay. Yeah. He gave up a 30-yarder on Aaron Rodgers' game-winning drive.
They need him to be a lot better than he's been. I mean, when you bring him in, and again, you were the team, and we've talked about all the knee stuff with him, but you were the team that decided to pull the trigger and give up a third-round pick to go get him and then pay him, and you're paying him to be better than he's been so far.
No question. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, Paulie sounds more like Paulie when he tries to sound like Stilly. I think that's true. You sound like you're impersonating yourself.
That's pretty fun.
That is good. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, so I really hope Snead figures it out, dude. Like, that's not my I can't stand to hear Jared talk anymore about this guy's knees. And he's worked on it for so long. So, no, that's not my question. So, Paul, all right, have you – and I kind of already brought this up to an extent with Robbie and Joe, but have you ever seen a quarterback like Levis? Not necessarily asked him about have they ever seen a bust that ended up starting so well, but do you have a comparable – quarterback to him, because he seems like one of a kind, not to just rip the guy, but I don't recall a quarterback that's ever been so incredibly reckless this early and gets so many chances. So I'm going to see if you have a comparable quarterback for me.
Thanks for calling, Adam.
Off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of anybody. I've got bad institutional memory on stuff like that. I don't remember exactly Mettenberger's game, but, I mean, he didn't do a damn thing. But he's also an undrafted guy. He didn't have the stature of Levis in terms of a draft pick. He didn't win.
Well, we were talking about this just the history of the Titans yesterday. Like, Locker did not go well. Vince Young started good. I mean, he won Rookie of the Year, got him to the playoffs in his second year, and then the wheels fell off after that. Marcus, I mean, his first game was unbelievable, and then it was kind of downhill from there. And then 16, he was good, had good numbers, but it hasn't been like Levis. I said this Monday, and I think it's pretty clear now. Like the Atlanta game last year for him, and the fourth quarter of Miami are outliers for Will Levis.
Yes.
Like, that's what it is at this point.
And absolutely true.
Those have been talked about a lot, probably too much, and we're probably a little bit responsible for that too. But those two performances for him are the exception, not the rule.
But it's not uncommon with a young quarterback to look at the best things he's done and say that's what he can be. The team needs to work on getting him there. Now, the more bad you see, the more you more and more it looks like, in fact, an outlier, like you're saying. I had somebody on Twitter yesterday tell me that the thing that would really cap the season is if Daniels can't play the Washington game and Marcus Mariota plays and beats the Titans.
Ooh, there you go.
I hadn't thought about that.
Titans fans were very – speaking of that.
The Titans fans would probably cheer for that. They didn't cheer for Willis. Yeah. They would cheer for Marcus.
I hope they're cheering for Derrick Henry. It's going pretty well for him. But that's what – Titans fans got very
in their feels?
Yeah, with the Mariota
– Henry reunion.
Mariota, yeah. Derrick Henry reunion. Nice. Yeah, that was very nice. Very nice moment.
It was. 615-737-1025, our phone number. I've got a question for PK on the Levis front coming up next. We'll get to that. More of your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts again, your best question for PK on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Win a $50 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. We'll award that a little bit later in the program. So, PK, you know, I said this earlier this week. I, generally speaking, try not to be a hot taker, try to be pretty measured with my approach. Last week, I was pretty close to being out on Will Levis, and then I saw that performance out of the bye week, throwing for 95 yards, the brutal interception that he threw, the inability to push the ball down the field, and I'm done. I have no confidence whatsoever that Will Levis is going to turn into a franchise quarterback. You can answer this if you want to. If you're not ready to give an answer, that's fine too, but what do you make of that? Are you out on Will Levis? Do you still have hope in the back of your mind somewhere that he ends up being the guy? How do you view the Levis situation and what we've seen to this point?
I don't have a lot of hope for him here. I think he probably winds up being a decent quarterback for somebody else down the road after a lot of time and a year on the bench. With
starting quarterback somewhere else? And,
yeah, serviceable starting quarterback somewhere else down the road.
But I'd say that's an optimistic view of him.
They don't have enough time here for that. But they have nothing else to do but play him the rest of the season, and so maybe something comes of that. That's a lot of games. You know, a light switch could come on. You know, they're, I allow, unlike somebody on the station, for the potential for somebody to get better. And so I allow for the potential for him to get better. Right now I see like a broken, confused guy, and I think there's a whole lot of stuff going on in his head. Some of which he's conscious of and some of which he's not conscious of. And I think that's awfully hard to reshape. But I allow for the possibility it could get better.
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily disagree with any of that. I think that's a pretty sunshiny view relative to most people who've been watching him play this year. It's certainly possible. I still think the biggest, and I'm with you, I mean, I think a lot of the, just the situation and everything like that, it's probably affected him. But I still think the biggest issue with him, consistent accuracy, that's still my – even though I know the decision-making has totally overwhelmed that this year,
yep.
I still – that's where I just – I'm not sure I agree on him being a starter somewhere down the line. I'm not discounting it as a possibility. Way crazier things have happened. But he just doesn't deliver the ball accurately
consistently.
I agree.
And that's a hard thing to, you know, they're playing Buffalo this week. Best example, by far to me, the most shocking example I've ever seen in football of a guy who I was like, that guy can't throw it accurately, and now he does.
That's extraordinarily rare. Yeah. That somebody gets better.
And so, to me, and it's not that drastic even with Levis now compared to like Josh Allen in 2018. But for the most part, it's kind of like, again, like, in basketball, whatever your jump shot is when you're like 17, you're not, you know, when you're 27, you're just going to be different. It's what your jump shot is.
Right.
So that's my biggest. I think he can clean up a lot of the other stuff, and he has a huge arm, and he can make amazing throws, and there's a lot that he still has to offer, but that's still my biggest
thing.
Question
is, though, like, you're right. He can make amazing throws. He hadn't made any this year.
Yeah, we haven't seen him.
It hasn't happened.
The other thing, you know, I haven't looked at it now, but his completion percentage going into that game was up 10 points from last year.
Yeah.
You know, is being up 10 points worth the exchange in what it's done for his yards per attempt and his yards per completion?
I mean, the thing is,
I think there's middle ground there, but it's too extreme to the completion percentage. Yeah. You know, David Carr had a great completion percentage because he was under such attack with maybe one of the worst offensive lines in history that
nothing
he was throwing
and checking down.
I mean, he was throwing in 1 second.
Right. Yeah, I do feel like this offense, I mean, I know they're totally different players, but that's a lot of what the Bengals offense has been, right? It's a lot of quick access stuff, easy completions, then you take your shots. You got great receivers, but I mean, how much of it is just like that's how Brian Callahan wants to play?
Yeah, a lot of it is, and I think that's where you get a little bit into, is it a square peg round hole thing? You know, maybe it is. And then Levis isn't that good to start with. And then you're trying to ask him to do things that aren't his forte. I think, you know, Callahan probably thought, well, this guy has some basic stuff that I can work with. And it hasn't worked out that way.
Well, the Callahan front, you know, we got a couple of questions basically to this effect on the text line of how has the drop-off from Levis been so drastic from last year to this year? Now, again, I think we start romanticizing last year a little bit too much and what he actually did last year. But there's no doubt some of those big throws that we saw him make and that were cause for optimism, he just hasn't made. And how much of this has to start, you know, we all realize he's got to play better, and maybe the simple answer is he's just not good enough. What I wonder about beyond that, like how much of this is on Callahan too? Because ultimately – When you are out on Levis and they have to go find another quarterback, is this going to continue to be a problem with Callahan in terms of it just not going the way it was advertised to go at this point with him? That's what I would be worried about if I'm a Titans fan. I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, again, I've said this before. We're 5 games into the Brian Callahan tenure. That's too early to come away with sweeping takeaways on him, but it's not been overly impressive to this point.
Well, PK, you had I know I saw something in your Twitter feed with film study to the effect of, you know, plays were there. I mean, I know you can.
Yeah, it was super.
You can play that game a lot, right?
Yeah. Like, no, but the things he showed, intermediate throws from Levis, a string of them. You watch that, you come away. My takeaway was far more quarterback than scheme.
Go back to our
off of those. There were throws to be made that were late. That's another thing. Late.
Well, right. the TD, shoulder or not. I mean, he was way late.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The interception was just he was
patting the ball, staring it down. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter.
You're screwed.
Your arm strength there when you allow the safety to run from one side of the field to the other, probably not going to go very well for you. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Ali. Ali, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? What's up, Rex Road? What's up, PK?
Hey.
Paul, first of all, thank you for holding these, like, coaches and players accountable. You're the we love you in this market. Second of all.
Thank you.
Brian Callahan.
Maybe you could talk independently to Joe about appreciating me.
Yes.
Send him an email.
Hey, I love you, too, even though your verdict in this story sucked.
We need more people like Paul in this market but he's still soft on the special teams coordinator, not like he was compared to what he was on Aukerman.
Special teams coordinator's bad. Saying. I don't know what else I can say. I mean, I talked to him a couple times about it, and he was like a deer in the headlights, and he's got absolutely nothing to say. He says that's horrible and we can't do it. And then they do it again.
I love when we think it's a positive call about you, and then we start ripping you. This is great.
All right, so look, Callahan, this man is Ken Wisenhunt 2.0. He literally looks like he's way over his head. He should not be the head coach. This team, like, the thing is, we saw Vrabel for so many years with a crappy roster. Like, it just seems like the advertisement that we got about this coaching staff has been completely false. Like Denard Wilson, okay, cool, yeah, he's good. But the offensive side, like, Tim Kelly was better than this guy as a play caller. Like, he might be, like, do we think going to give up play calling anytime soon? Like, any changes on, like,
the Ollie, you about to back into something? What's going on? What's going on?
Like,
what,
like,
is the beeping?
Let's be a little, be a little more concise.
That was wild.
I was worried about it for a minute. Yeah, I thought he was about to back into something.
What was going on? Was it like the doors opening? Maybe. Or the seat belt?
Well, close the door.
Was the seat belt not fastened or something?
Close the door.
Yeah. So that was very, you know, I
think it's a little hot takey on Callahan.
It's a little hot takey, you know. It's early, and I don't know. What do you think? You're the.
Well, it's way too early for Ken Whisenhunt 2.0. No. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Ken Whisenhunt got to a Super Bowl, by the way.
He did.
Ken Whisenhunt was much more of a disaster than this is. The one funny thing I'm hearing is, like, go to Rudolph to get proof of concept with Callahan. What can Callahan's offense be with a, you know, somewhat average quarterback? Mm-hmm. Do Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, and Amy Adams Strunk need proof of concept from the coach they hired 6 games ago? I would hope not.
I mean, I would hope not too, well, but I don't know. I mean, I think Brian Callahan, like, his lineage, his experience. And again, if you look at the plays out there, like, it's not like they're running. I mean, you know, they're running an NFL offense. I think that for the most part, you're getting bad quarterback play, you know, and other things too. You know, the offensive line still isn't great. Ridley, what the heck is going on with him? There's a lot of different ways you can get that kind of, but to look at this whole thing and determine that the biggest issue is Brian Callahan. I mean, the head coach is always going to, if you're losing, you're always going to get blamed, right? But
the biggest issue is the quarterback's bad. That's the biggest issue.
That
is
the biggest issue. That is the biggest issue. But they also overestimated some of the help they put in. Excuse me, some of the help they put in around him. You know, the offensive line is slow to come around. That was a good game for the offensive line, but he also Levis threw the fastest of anybody in the league. And Brian Callahan, God bless him, was pretty candid. You know, I thought Leroy Watson, I watched him particularly on some run plays. I thought he looked good. And Callahan said, he wasn't so great. Like, that thing's still up in the air very much.
Yeah, that was probably one of the most
quite
like telling. His comments on him were like, wow, very un-Brian Callahan like, really.
Yeah, and then, you know, Ridley, you know, a lot of those balls are uncatchable, but 9 for 27 is ridiculously unacceptable.
Well,
and he can't complain about when his targets are coming if he's not catching them when they're coming. You know, he had a chance on some of those balls to make plays that would have affected the game. You know, Pollard's been good, but overall offense has no juice. And most of that is Levis, but... Yeah, Callahan. I got to go back and find the quote. Callahan said you could scheme everything.
Yeah,
they're not scheming everything.
We'll get a little bit more into the Ridley situation as well coming up next. More of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans as well. I got a pair of tickets to give away to see the Preds take on Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And RFPK, you call number 9, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 9 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Edmonton Oilers at Bridgestone Arena coming up tomorrow night. Let's go quickly to our phone line. Welcome in Dylan to the program. Dylan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Don't take my comment with any credence, just a genuine curiosity. So I know this is something that's been ringing in my head that, you know, Brian Callahan didn't call plays in Cincinnati, but we were told, he was heavily involved with, you know, forming the offensive game plan. So now I'm thinking this, seeing how he's calling plays and, you know, things aren't really working out. Like, do you think there was a reason why he wasn't calling plays in Cincinnati? Like, you feel like maybe he's just not a good play caller and that's why we're having the struggle, like why he's struggling?
He wasn't calling plays in Cincinnati because his boss was calling plays in Cincinnati.
It's
right? Makes no sense.
It's the model, Dylan.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's what I'm saying. I don't know, like, how often offensive coordinators are calling the plays, like, in the NFL. Like, that's, you know, not my area of expertise, obviously. But I'm just wondering, like, you know, is is this the reason why maybe he's, you know, maybe he's just not a good play caller? Like, I don't know. I mean, I know probably some of it is on Levis, like, obviously, but just, you know, I don't know. I don't know what, like, the level of responsibility is there between Callahan and Levis.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dylan. I appreciate it. I mean, to answer his question, I don't know if Brian Callahan may not be a good play caller. I don't know.
But the quarterback's making it very difficult.
The quarterback's making it very difficult.
We don't know yet.
And the Zach Taylor stuff, like Zach Taylor was the play caller. So that's not an indictment on Brian Callahan. That's just when your head coach is the play caller, your head coach is the play caller, and that's what it is.
I mean, the NFL, Shanahan, McVay, and then on through that, LaFleur, that's the thing now, right? I mean, it's not everywhere. But those guys, those offensive quarterback guys, they don't call plays when they're the OC, and then they get a head coach's job, and that's when they call plays.
Well, and some of those guys, and we'll see about Callahan, but there are going to be situations moving forward where guys get head coaching jobs, and they haven't called plays before, and it turns out they're just not very good at it. And eventually they either got to give it up or they're going to get fired. But it's too early to make that determination on Callahan.
And if you're going to call for a change in the play caller, the play caller would be Nick Holtz, who – doesn't have any experience calling plays and is a disciple of Brian Callahan.
Well,
it makes no sense.
And I brought this up earlier, but look, Brian Callahan, these guys get these jobs through that job, right? Through Nick Holtz's job. That's how guys get these head coaching jobs.
Right.
Well, you know, if Brian Callahan was that important to Zach Taylor, which I think Zach Taylor told us both that, right?
Yes.
And I believe him. Well, then Nick Holtz must be that important to Brian Callahan, right? Is Nick Holtz up to that? I mean, based on his career path there, I'm not. I mean, I think that's where you look and be like, man, that's a little bit of a leap.
Yeah,
what he is
definitely
right
was
now
a bit of a leap. And you know, then you would think, well, if this thing goes well in 3 years, then maybe Nick could be on the Callahan path. But if it goes well,
yeah, it's just.
But right now,
growing people into a job that important is, yeah, that's tough. That can be problematic.
Yeah, I mean, the Callahan, I mean, is another interesting question on here, too, that may be a little premature, but Jackson says, you know, is it concerning that he's likely missed on two of his three coordinators? Special teams is somehow worse. Holtz always comes across as a lost puppy in his interviews. Never understood how he got past the interview, and I can't imagine him coaching guys. Like, again, it is still 5 games in. You know, like you said, special teams has been atrocious, and they gave up another couple of big returns on Sunday. Look, maybe Nick Holtz and the offensive operation as a whole gets better. And look, I do think when you're talking about the play calling, the offensive staff, all those things, it's not been good enough. There's no doubt about that. But when your quarterback is playing this bad, I think it's hard to get a real read on what you've got there. It just is in today's NFL.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Look, it's hard to get a read on a lot of things, right? Because nothing is right, really.
Yeah.
Right? So we can't get a read on Callahan because the quarterback's not good enough. We can't get a read on the quarterback because he's turned into confused, you know, whatever. We're getting a pretty good read on him. We can't get a read totally on Ridley because the balls are inaccurate. We can't get a read on, you know, keep going. There's some permutation affecting every guy or unit or situation.
Go back to the most important position in sports.
Right. But right? Makes it unjudgeable. But you have to be able to judge some things.
No.
The higher-ups have to be able to determine quality despite the fact that things around them are not perfect. And they're at a point where they have to make those judgments.
I mean, the thing with Callahan that I do go back to is it wasn't just off-season – yeah, you know, really like Will, and he can be a good player. It was, like,
effusive.
Effusive praise. Yeah. And it's like, if you thought that, and now we're seeing this, what does that mean?
Right.
I think mostly it's what you said, Robbie, which is first couple weeks, it's like, wait, this is not at all what I thought he was going to be doing on the field during games.
He looked like he was in shock the first 2 weeks, particularly with when you have turnovers that are that egregious.
Right.
I think anybody would be in shock.
Yes.
But I wonder now if there's like, okay, well, I thought he was this. I was stunned by what I saw the first 2 weeks. And now is there some acceptance creeping in of, oh, this is just what he is. And this is not good. This is not what I thought I had in this quarterback. And again, to your point, what does that mean if you misread it that poorly, if you're Brian Callahan?
They can't live with 95 yards passing.
No.
Period. No matter how much they want to tout their run game, which can be pretty good. It's not, you know, it's not a week to week they're going to be able to shove the ball down people's throats run game.
Right.
But they talk like that after doing it against Miami and Indianapolis, who are hardly, you know, hard teams to run against.
What did you make of Ridley's outburst in the media after the game?
Yeah.
The frustration.
You're saying outburst with a smile. It was not a tirade. He was not irate. These words matter. I think it's shameful that ESPN cast it as that.
I did see that.
I think he was perfectly calm, and he swore a few times. And boy, are we prudes if that has to be called a tirade. A tirade, by definition, is long. The clip ESPN put up with this tirade was 16 seconds.
Yep.
Look, he has a fair objection about not being getting the ball early, but it's weakened when he doesn't catch the ones he could have caught out of the eight. I counted five of them as uncatchable. So I would, if he was 3 for 8, I would have been, you know, okay.
That'd have been a lot better.
Okay with it based on how poor the throws were to him. But this thing where Levis can't find him, can't get him a good ball. You know, they went out and got this guy to make the offense go in a lot better way, and they can't figure it out, you know, particularly the quarterback. But also, I'm going to go back to this. You could scheme everything. You could scheme ways to get the ball into Ridley's hands in a safer, whatever way.
Well, to your point about not getting a read on things, Ridley is tough because – well, it's like, and we talked about this earlier this week, but Charles Robinson came on here in a few months ago and talked about how people thought Jacksonville misused him.
Yeah.
By the way, Nick Holt's passing game coordinator last year. But then Duraco, who has covered the Jags forever, said in the building, they think Ridley screwed a lot of things up. And so there's that, too. Just before we even see him play this year, there's that question. And now I'm looking at, like, things totally not working out. It's like, I got to think. Again,
at some point, there's a common denominator.
Yeah. I still think the biggest common denominator of all this is a quarterback struggling like he is.
Absolutely.
But also, then you throw that and you combine it with maybe Ridley's, you know, off on some things, messes up some stuff more than you should at this point in the NFL when you get paid that kind of money, and that's quite a concoction.
Quite a recipe. And I said when they signed him, you know, there are people in the league who had concerns about what he would be after he got a big contract. So – you can stack that on top of it. What does he do from here is a big big question. You want to see Calvin Ridley get back to work, and those guys have to make it function. I will say this. In a league where I'm desperate, I just picked him up on waivers. got to do something.
Calvin, he just come in and save the day, baby. You got two
do,
catches in the last 3 weeks.
He's got to do something this week.
How about this from Will on Music Row? Which of these questions is the most true? Number one, there's an organizational, together everyone achieves more mentality that's ruining the team from ownership down. Two, Callahan's running out of ways to protect Levis in the press conference. Three, the players realize Levis isn't the guy. Or four, there's no face of the franchise right now.
Which is the most true,
of those four?
Tuck him off real quick again.
Callahan running out of ways to protect Levis in the press conference. Players realizing Levis isn't the guy, there's no face of the franchise. Or the together everyone achieves more collaboration mentality ruining the team from ownership down.
They're all big concerns.
Yep.
I think the collaboration thing becomes a problem when everybody wants to find blame. And if they keep playing this poorly and end up with a top three draft pick, while some fans will rejoice at the high draft pick, others are going to want to know who's responsible for this. You can scapegoat Will Levis for 1 year, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the maximum of that. And, you know, again, with this ownership, Joe, I know you brought this up and think it's crazy, and I largely agree with you, but I'm not ruling out if it continues to go this way. Like, I don't know that Carthon or Brinker are safe after this year.
That's the big one for me, because the collaboration was going to fix a lot. That hard ass was a real problem for them.
What percentage?
Well, that hard ass would be doing better with this roster.
Yes.
Titans go 4-13. What's your percentage chance that Amy decides to fire Brinkthon? Carker?
Carbrink?
There you go.
6%.
Six? Okay. That's high.
I mean, you always got to leave a percentage with this group. I think it's what we've
But six is, I mean, six I was is gonna more
say,
than five.
I was going to say three, and then I was like, well, yeah, that's pretty low given that the Adams family, you know, does some stuff. You?
They do, but yeah, I'd put it at like 2%. I mean, it's.
I think y'all are crazy. I yeah? higher than that. Yeah. So you given her history? Yeah. Well, I'll go higher than six.
But yeah, but see, but her history to me actually, in my mind, makes it less likely because we've been talking about it so much.
I think it should. I'm not convinced that it does.
Okay, what's your number then?
I'll go like 25%.
Holy cow.
I think
stop the press.
I think y'all are way underestimating her ability to just decide something
on a dime. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. To me, it would be wild to do all the things they've done. I mean, you wrote that was a great piece, Brinker's Analytics. You know, do more of that and less of the verdict is in crap.
Thank you. I'm taking advice from a guy who hasn't written and won't write a Titans piece for the foreseeable future. It's terrific.
Yeah, well, you know, we write about different things.
College ball.
Yeah. But what was the point I was making? God dang it.
I sidetracked myself by somebody calling him for his gig.
God dang it.
One more segment with BK. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Week 7 matchup against the Bills, give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Rowe. Joe, you had a point that you were making and then didn't make, and now are finishing.
When Paul's so
rude. You got
rude,
distracted.
Yeah, get your mic together there, Chief. When Paul so rudely interrupted me by ripping me when I was just trying to rip him. So the point I was making, bringing up your analytics piece, is if you're Amy and you have invested all this into this, and I mean, it's a big change now, right? And yeah, a little bit of a half-measure change maybe last year. Now it's the full thing. And you're really going to entertain starting over? I can't. Especially with all the criticism she has, to me, rightfully received about rashly making decisions in the last few years. I'm 2%, and I feel like that's 25% is wild. Wild, Robbie.
Have you seen her the last 2 years?
Well, I know. But again, that's part of my reasoning.
I said this to Brinker this time and previously when I talked to him about analytics. It sure seems like the time that these systems take to build insulates you, buys you time. And he said, you know, they take time. There's no getting around the fact that to get these things to where we want, starting from zero, it's a process. Now they use draft stuff for this last draft, so it's practical to think, based on what he told me in that piece, that their draft analytics stuff played a role in Latham and Sweat and Brownlee, but also in Cedric Gray and guys who are not off to good starts.
Yeah, you're never going to hit everything, but now this draft class, and that's part of it too. The draft class looks pretty good.
So I think it's starting to show up. And Stilly, I think, is killing them for a woozy being hurt. I mean, the injury stuff is way better than it was, for Vrabel. The injury reports are shorter, and guys are missing less. Yeah. So you can pick out the one guy who's hurt and say, oh, the cancer-curing machine didn't work on a woozy. Or you could say their injuries are down. I'm not saying that Chad Brinker has them down, but I'm saying organizationally
they're down.
I think most of it's luck, quite frankly, and that they were due to regress to the mean. But you can't blast Chad Brinker's analytics for not doing anything. I mean, I don't know that it's doing anything or not. They're working on asymmetries in a way that they never have before, and we don't see as many hamstring injuries. So I don't know if we give them a gold star for that, but – We're not killing them over hamstring injuries.
You know, this thing taking several years until it comes to fruition, it's almost like the Cray America version of the NFL, right? You know, just like, hey, can't fire me!
Right. Ooh, that didn't go as I expected at all.
Don't you worry.
Next idea, ketchup and mustard in the same bottle.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in John to the program. John, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Robbie and Joe, I think you got the best sports talk show in the city, and the addition of Paul makes it great. I look forward to this segment every week. So,
Thank you very much. They do have the best show in the city.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, I want to go back quickly to the Bears game in the first half particularly because that's the only good football I can really remember. And, Paul, I remember you putting out a tweet, and I agreed with it, that I think early in that first half it was a tweet somewhere along the lines of, you know, while it's kind of clear the Titans have clearly upgraded at play caller or, you know, at scheme, something along those lines. And I agreed with that at the time. Obviously, it's taken a turn since that first half. My question, I guess, would be, you know, it really seems like this season's hinged after that first half with we know what happened in the second half with the pick six and the punt block for touchdown. You know, it seems like either confidence really got, shook at that point, both quarterback and maybe play caller. Maybe that's a sign of, you know, not great leadership, as you guys have talked from the top down. Or it could be that, you know, Callahan and Levis was early in their tenure, and now defenses have kind of caught on, and there not been a counterpunch yet from Callahan to kind of combat that. And just wanted to hear your thoughts on
caught
that.
Caught on to what? I mean, I don't think they for a defense to catch on, they've got to catch on to some success. And the Titans haven't had any success in the passing game this year. For defenses to counter. I think defenses can do what all of these defenses have been doing. There's not been success for Will Levis.
Yep. Congratulations to Will on Music Row, our winner of A Moment's Peace Salon at A-Spa and gift card with the what's the most true question. Callahan running out of ways to protect Levis, players realizing Levis isn't the guy. That kind of highlights where they're at right now. A lot of things true that are not going well for the Tennessee Titans.
I picked face of the franchise, by the way.
Yes.
I picked that.
Very good participation. We appreciate that, as always. PK, we may or may not see you next week, depending on if you decide to show up.
The strike, yeah.
I appreciate you, PK. Yeah. I take it back.
I don't
take back the verdict as in-ripping, but I take it back.
All rings hollow. Happy birthday, Simon Garski. Don't block the box. Do lock your locks.
Jason Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.